Well, good morning. In art, sometimes people choose that their art will be timely. It's suited for the times. Sometimes art is timeless. It almost denies the day that it was made. It remains great. No matter what happens, the art remains. The scriptures are both timely and timeless. What I'm going to talk about today is absolutely relevant for us today, this week, next week, last week. And yet, we were going to read this in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, however long it's going to be, it would still be relevant and applicable to us. This lesson is right in front of you. There really isn't much to do in the lesson except follow along. There's a bunch of scriptures. Some I'm going to read. Some you can just take notes on. I know some people take notes. You can just note them. And so we'll begin. Thank you all for that, for the prayer, and also for reading and for some great songs, Phil. Thank you. Sometimes in our work here, wherever you go, you meet opposition, and when you meet opposition, challenges arise, and then decisions are made on how we're going to deal with. Approaching or addressing opposition. Some folks are in school. Some of our young folks are in school. They may meet that. They're ready. They'll do well. But it's important that we're all prepared for the things that come in front of us, and that part of being a Christian is to recognize that the examples we have in the scriptures are examples for today. These are not for some other time. Sometimes we read scriptures, and it seems to be something specific, let's say, about the qualifications of elders. And some may feel like, well, that doesn't really directly refer to me in some way. I understand that. But this portion of scriptures entirely relates to us today. And I hope it's going to be encouraging for you. This is not a lesson that's going to give you a lot of challenges. Maybe within it there's challenges. Yes, there is. But hopefully this is more of an encouragement for us as we do our work, as we share our lives together in Christ. In Acts 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." So we recognize here that Peter and John are going to be arrested, that they're arrested. And it's interesting for us to think, well, is that going to stop the gospel? Will that stop the growth of the church? Will things that oppose us impede us? Will God's plan be met? I think we know the answer. God's plan will be met. The things that God has us do are part of that plan. And here we see something. It's very important for us to see it, right? Look who's here. The priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, come upon them. The idea of coming upon somebody almost sort of implies like a perceived threat. You know, when someone comes upon you, it's almost unexpected. You're not expecting for someone to come upon you. Maybe it's a sense of challenge, a direct challenge, a confrontation. Well, let's read on. It says, "They were greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Some versions say there that they were grieved, that they were annoyed, that they were greatly disturbed by what was happening, by what was being said. That they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Well, we know the Sadducees do not agree with that at all. And they arrested them, laid hands on them, put them in custody. So they were teaching about the resurrection, they were proclaiming the truth about that. They preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And you know, and sometimes too, we think about people who are witnesses to things. They see something. They're witnesses to it. People saw Christ. People witnessed his teaching. People see these men here teaching. They witnessed it. People are affected by what they witness. And I think it helps us to see the boldness in this. Their willingness to speak the truth about Christ, about these issues, to people that they knew were in opposition to them. Now, where they're talking to a bunch of people about something, and then these folks come across and come upon them. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. If you think about back to Acts 2:41, they talk about 3,000 were baptized, believed on Christ. So Peter and John are arrested, placed into custody. Verse 4 tells us that people believed, that what they were saying, that people believed, and that 5,000 were to become Christians. That's impactful. So our work, the work that we're doing, the things that people think about and might believe in, as was mentioned in the prayer this morning, are not in line with what we're going to teach people, what we're going to share with people. It's not going to be in line with it. So if it's not in line with it, there's going to be opposition, whether it be just an intellectual opposition, a debate, internal debate, or potentially a confrontation. So in this case, the result is we're going to put these gentlemen in jail. We're going to put them in custody. The church is growing fast, because it says there a little later on, about 5,000. Let's take a look again at verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many that were, as were there, of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Have you ever been in a situation where you were put in the center? Where you were the one that was going to be asked the questions? Maybe unrelated, but if you ever go to get a graduate degree, there's a thing called a dissertation, and there's a thing called an oral defense. When you have an oral defense, that's exactly what happens. You're in the center of the room, generally, and people around you asking questions. Some are for your support, some may not be in support. So you have to give a defense for what you have done. That's a lot less important than this, but it relates. So if you've ever had that situation where you were, maybe not in a formal way, in an informal way, you're at the mall, you're at Hannaford, wherever you are, and something happens where now you become the person who's going to be asked the questions, are we ready to give the answers? If you want to go to John 11, it mentions the folks that are here in verse 6, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander. If you go to John 11, I believe it's 49. Yeah, 49. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." And then 53. "Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death." Sometimes we know people's intentions before the conversation happens. Sometimes we learn it in the midst of the conversation. Either way, we need to do the thing that we're going to see here. And it's I'm sure you've read this before. This is really powerful. Because when you face opposition, it's not a real kind situation sometimes. And it will come down to whether you're going to speak the truth, the entire truth, or not. In our home growing up with the kids, we'd say, half-truths don't belong in this house. Because a half-truth is a full lie. So we have to teach the whole truth. Not part of it, all of it. Even if parts, like the resurrection, are things we know people struggle with. We have to do all of it, not part of it. Back to Acts 4. Verse 7 says, "And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now it's interesting, and I think you need to study this on your own and come to your own understanding of this. But what they were arrested for is something a little subtly different than what's happening now. It says there in verse 3, "They laid their hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." And verse before that said, "They preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." So are they going to ask questions about the resurrection? Is that what this is about? Is the group going to ask questions about this? Well, what do they ask? By what power or what by what name have you done this? Maybe that's a natural byproduct of their discussion. But it does seem something's shifted a little bit here. Have they moved the goalposts? I thought we were arrested for this. Come to find out, they're not asking me about this. They're asking about something else. Related, but different. By what power? That's not about the resurrection. But what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Here's the pivot point. You're being directly challenged. You understand the scriptures. Those around you who are asking are in opposition to it. What does Peter say? What does Peter do? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well? This is the man that was healed, the lame man. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Does Peter answer their question? Peter answers it the way it needs to be answered. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to answer it the way it needs to be answered. And he says, if we this day are judged for this good deed, is that what we're being judged for? The good deed that we did? Or is it something else you're going to be judging us for? Like we have no authority to do what we're doing. This is the way the world is. This is a great example of the things you're going to face. You thought we were going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to make you answer this question. Maybe unexpectedly. Maybe without any preparation. But you're prepared. As was Peter. Was this like an interview? Or was this like more of an interrogation? Some versions say they're brought into the midst. Some versions say in front of them. So we know the direction of this. This is a kind of a back and forth. But in a way, because of what Peter's response is, it's something quite different. What were these leaders concerned about? They were concerned about the source of the apostles' power. Is that what they're concerned about? Well, let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Jesus says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. If you want directions, look to Jesus. If you want to know what to do, look to Jesus. Those verses just totally coordinate with what's happening here. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Now, we may not be brought in front of kings and rulers or governors. It might be a whole different scenario. The players, in a way, matter and don't matter. In this circumstance, surely, the context matters. But in our situation, it may not be as formal as this. It may be a little conversation, a little moment where something's happening that you're thinking, what shall I do? For a good deed done to a helpless man, is this what we are being judged for? The ailing man, the lame man, some versions say. Then by what means has he been made well? How he's been healed? So the answer challenges those that are questioning. Because the answer runs against what they want to hear. Or it exposes their lack of understanding and asserts their opposition. Verse 10. Let's go through them a little bit at a time. Let it be known to you all. So Peter says, here's the truth of the matter. Everyone needs to know it. And to all the people of Israel. You know, people use that word inclusive. Okay. The truth is entirely inclusive. It's available to all people. Will you want to be excluded and not accept it? Or will you be willing to accept it and obey it? Trust that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord, our Savior, the Messiah, whom you crucified. He's not saying, you know, those folks over there did it. He's saying to them in front of him, whom you crucified. Confront them with their own action. Confront them with their own actions. That's what he's doing. It's true. You did that. His death on the cross, you crucified him. Whom God raised from the dead. Here we go. Surely a corollary to the conversation before. God's power and might, he sent Jesus to seek and save that which was lost. And we remember him, and we're going to do that in a little while, for how he endured the cross for us. So the answers here that he gave, that we could give today, remain absolutely true. Nothing's changed. The parties may change. The circumstance may change. The answers remain the same. How beautiful that is. By him, this man stands here before you whole. It makes me think this gentleman was somehow around. This person that was healed. He's somewhere around. Because they say, by him this man stands before you. So, here's the evidence. Okay? You want me to answer questions? Want me to give you evidence? Like we're in a court of law? There's your evidence. Three-dimensional. There he is. 40 years. And now he's right here. How'd that happen? They just told him how it happened. Let it be known to you all. It's also important for us to see this in verse 10. Whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands there here before you whole. Now they had power. The apostles had power. Are they giving themselves credit for the power? Are they giving themselves the right to say, see what we did? See how I did it? No. He says, by him, like through him, this man stands here before you whole. How about this for a way of answering a question? Now nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And before that, this is the stone. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone, the foundation, the center. It's fundamental. It's the foundational role that Christ has and remains for us, the chief cornerstone. This can't be misconstrued. You can't misread what he said. This is the stone which you rejected by you, the builders. Nor is there any salvation in any other. That's what Al read for us. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Some versions say boldness or courage. Having understood, there's a perception. They perceived something. That they were uneducated, unlearned, and untrained. King James says ignorant. That they were unlearned and ignorant. Yet they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. We put a lot of emphasis on things in this culture. Education is one of them. Nothing really wrong with it. As long as you don't make that your idol. As long as that's not your priority. If that's your priority, take it from me. The problem will be that there'll be some challenge ultimately to it. The challenge is, what was that for anyway? A job, a career, a good life? What really will matter will be, ultimately, were we obedient to Jesus? Did we live for Him? All those degrees will fade away. It's good to get straight A's. We would bring our report cards home from my dad, and he would look at them probably about 10 seconds. This is what he would do. Put it there, Peter. He called me Pistol Pete. Put it right there. I put it there. He'd open it. Give me more coffee, Rita. Anything less than A, I get a question. What's that A minus? What is that? Come on. I'm looking for A's. It was good that he did that. But we know that's not what it matters, really. That really does not matter ultimately. Yes, achievement is good. Yes, education is good. It served us well. But in this circumstance, how were they perceived? As uneducated. Oh, didn't have the rabbinical training. Oh, you don't have the language. Oh, you don't speak a certain way. Whatever that was. Yet, they marvel. Why did they marvel? What was the marveling? That they realized that they had been with Jesus. If someone ever said to you, the way you live your life, the way you comport yourself, whatever that might be, they may see Jesus in you. That is a great day. There may be no greater day for someone to say something to you like that. There is a way that that can happen. If you'd like that to happen to you, you must live for Jesus. You got to take away the selfish things. You're going to have to take away the things that you might think are adorning you. Maybe it's a resume. Whatever that is. You'll have to do that if you want that answer. Because to do that, you must be devoted to it. They realized that they had been with Jesus. That's scary for them. That is going to be frightening for them. This group of people. Because they were envious of him. Envious because of his teaching. His power. His persuasion of people. That's our Lord there. That's the teaching. The life he led. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who they had been healed standing with them, right? They could say nothing against it. They asked some questions. You get some answers. Here's some evidence. Is it over? Well, they could not deny it. They could say nothing against it. Sometimes it's best not to get in the way. Just teach the scriptures. Just speak the scriptures. Just say what's been said. You don't need to get creative. You don't need to embellish it. You don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to be articulate. Just plainly speak the truth. Plainly speak it. Is that what they marveled at? These guys are untrained. They're unlearned. They're uneducated. In our world today, those characteristics, you're going to hire that person? Untrained, uneducated? Well, I guess it comes down to what you value, ultimately. And what they saw. And what they saw was this man standing next to them. Evidence of the power of Jesus. In 15, but when they had commanded them to go outside, out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Something's changed. Something's shifted. In the beginning, put them in the center of us. We're going to ask questions. All of a sudden, we've got to confer. What are we going to do? See, they thought they were in control. God's in control. They thought they were going to get answers to questions to actually put these people away. Whatever their objectives were. Come to find out, God has the victory. We have the victory. What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. See that twice? Nothing against it. Can't deny it. That's living in faith. Can't deny it. Will there be naysayers? Sure. Will those who we speak to always believe us? No. Will our intent always be the outcome? Maybe not. But we have to do the work, regardless. The outcome takes care of itself ultimately. So they're going to confer. What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done. An admission. There's an admission. A miracle has been done. It's evident. 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Well, here's the solution that they come up with. There's not much we can do about certain things, like that fellow that's standing over there. We really can't do much about what they have affected people because it's evident. It's evident. They've influenced people. People are obeying the gospel. The church is growing. But what can we do? Let's threaten them. Let's severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. You know, sports teams have interesting names, right? Let's think of some. The Rams, the Chiefs, the Vikings. I played against a team called the Golden Horde. That was the name of the team. The Golden Horde. We only played them once in all my entire life as an athlete in the school I grew up in. They weren't from our area. They were known to be some of the toughest guys around. They came in on a bus, and they parked in the corner of our end zone, which actually was sort of like a kind of in your face. And out they come, and I'll never forget, the gold helmets, the Golden Horde. Black jerseys, gold helmets. Very large people. This is going to be intimidating. So, not unlike this in some ways. Sometimes you face something that actually is intimidating. What changes it? What changed it that day? Well, we go out for the captain's handshakes. So I go out with the other fellow who's the captain. We're going to go to the center of the field, and we're going to shake hands with two guys from the Golden Horde. And out they come, and they're both bigger than me. And this other fellow. We put the hands out, we shake hands, and I look at him, and guess what I see? Acne. He had some acne. He was my age. Just like me. He's a person. That's who it is. That's our opposition. It's not the Golden Horde and all the intimidation. It's the person. That's going to be the interaction. Then you really know who you're dealing with. Take away the things that look intimidating. Look at the thing the way it really is. What it truly is. But they're fearful of things spreading. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Isn't that interesting? They want to threaten them. Haven't they threatened them before? Wasn't this whole thing kind of a threatening thing? Put them in the midst of you. Ask the questions. High priest. Right? Sadducees. The royal captain. Let's threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Is that going to work? Is that going to work with Peter and John? If it didn't work in front of you, it's not going to work later on. That's good for us to know. Because sometimes we may have an interaction and it doesn't go well. We have a Bible study, nothing really seems to come of it. Months, might be years. What was it all about? Well, you did your work. You served the Lord. So they call them out and command them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Will you ever be asked about that? Will you ever be asked, don't say it again. Don't talk to me about it again. Maybe it's a neighbor, co-worker, whatever. Don't talk to me about it. I'm done talking about it. Well, you'll make your decision. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Great answer. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So the questions are coming from people that have seen and heard things And now he says, we can't stop talking about it because we saw the things that we saw. We saw what Jesus did. We saw the things that occurred to him. We saw the things that you question. And we're right. Not that it's right and wrong. We're right because it's true. It's true. We cannot but speak of the things that we've seen and heard. So they had further threatened them. They let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since all the glorified God for what had been done. It's right in front of you. They're being arrested. Will that stop the gospel? Will it stop God's plan? Will it stop His bride from growing? From remaining? From us sustaining our faith? For you believing on Him? For you trusting on Him? Will these things that are outside of us ultimately impede us? Absolutely not. As long as you remain in Him, remain in His Word, abide in the truth, those answers are yours. And you can answer them with courage and boldness. It is interesting that boldness is mentioned, right? Boldness isn't arrogance. Boldness isn't speaking out of turn. Boldness isn't an inappropriate behavior. Some people don't like boldness because they don't want to hear the truth. Or when they hear it, it bothers them because they don't comport with it. Doesn't mean you don't speak with boldness. We proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We'll do that in a little bit. We're not going to stop proclaiming that, right? Not because someone disagrees with us, or we fear their reaction. Don't fear their reaction. Obviously, in this circumstance here, they try to confer to figure out what to do. You can't stop the Lord's work. We're not going to let it happen, right? Let's keep working. Let's keep focusing on what we can do to serve the Lord. Be humble about it. Be loving in it. You can be bold and loving. You can be courageous and loving. If you want to be effective, those things are helpful. I just want to read verse 10 before we're done. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. If we can help you in any way this morning, you need to obey the gospel. If you need help from the saints in prayers, please come forward as we stand and sing.